If you've ever found yourself spiraling down a late night rabbit hole of what am I meant to do and why haven't I found it yet? And let's be honest, who hasn't? Then you're in the right place. I'm Teresa White, career clarity expert and 5-time certified career coach, and I'm here to help you navigate the question of how to find a career that truly lights you up. On Career Clarity Unlocked, we're all about those light bulb moments. I'm talking to people who are still trying to figure out what they're meant to do, coaching them live to reach that magical, yes, this is it moment. And we'll also hear from those who've already found their dream careers and figure out exactly how they did it. Whether you're looking for inspiration or actionable advice on finding a career you love, I've got you covered. Time to unlock some career clarity. Let's dive in. Welcome back to Career Clarity Unlocked. Have you ever felt stuck in your career, not knowing which direction to take next? Or maybe you're dreaming of a big career change, but feel overwhelmed by where to start? Today, we're diving into the power of mindset, energy, and strategy in making those career transitions not just possible, but inevitable. We'll explore how to get clear on your purpose and craft an energizing career with the help of our incredible guest. Katie Colbert became not just a friend and an incredible inspiration for me after we spent 1 week together at Diana YK Chan's Business Mastermind in Mexico earlier this year. But Katie is also a founder, coach, and mindset mentor, and she's on a mission to help growth-minded professionals get clarity on their purpose and create more energizing careers. Katie teaches both the strategy and energetics required to navigate intentional change and build your career by design. Katie started her career in management consulting, burned out, hitting a quarter-life crisis. She then got clarity on her career vision before pivoting to work at an early-stage recruiting tech startup. After working across 4 unique functions, she began building her personal brand and coaching business on the side. Katie now combines personal development with her professional experience, pivoting careers and advising 100-plus hiring teams to help ambitious professionals navigate career transitions with confidence. Let's get started. Welcome, Katie.
I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for the lovely introduction. Thank you for hosting me, Teresa.
I am so excited to chat with you. And on so many things, we're so aligned in what we're helping people to do and helping them find clarity. So I'm so excited for this conversation. When we started actually our business mastermind in Mexico, we started with a Sparkotype assessment, which I also start my podcast on lives with. So I would love to dive into that if that's all right with you.
Sounds great.
So for any of our listeners who are not familiar with the Sparkotype assessment yet, it is founded by Jonathan Fields. And I love this assessment so much because the more someone's work aligns with their Sparkotype, the more likely they are to feel energized, excited, have a sense of what they do matters, experience flow, and be fully themselves and able to perform at their full potential. And you can take that assessment for free on sparkotype.com. And Katie, for you, so there's a primary Sparkotype, a shadow Sparkotype, and an anti-Sparkotype. And your primary, which is the strongest impulse for work that makes you feel excited, inspired, and on purpose, is the advisor. And just a quick reminder, the advisors are all about guiding you to grow. The work of coaching, mentoring, and advising fills you up like nothing else. The satisfaction you feel comes from walking beside others and being with them and guiding them along the way as they move toward their desired outcomes. You're a coach now, so I wonder, does this still resonate with you?
Yeah, definitely. I love coaching, mentoring, always have. And that's why I became a coach, because it just was naturally what I was already doing for folks in my life. And it was like, oh, there's definitely people who do this professionally. So it definitely resonates with me.
That is so incredible that you were able to find that inside of you and then turn that into the work you do now.
Yeah, it's really fulfilling.
Yeah. And your shadow Sparkotype, which is often the work you do in order to be able to do the work of your primary at a higher level, is the sage. So your sage impulse is to illuminate, teach, and elevate. You live to share insights, ideas, knowledge, and experiences with others in a way that leaves them in some way better, wiser, and more equipped to experience life differently. Does that still resonate with you as well?
Yeah, honestly, I think the sage resonates with me maybe even like more than the advisor sometimes. I love connecting the dots between disparate situations. And I even did that in my corporate career as well. It was just kind of like being a cross-functional person, being able to see how, you know, disparate ideas come together and working across teams. And then now I feel like I like to create insight and maybe combining that with the advisor is kind of like creating that insight for clients and teaching them, showing them how to like have those aha moments and create breakthroughs.
That is so incredible. And I wonder when you think back to earlier in your career, because you started like really very successful in your career, but then burned out early on. Do you feel like you've always had the opportunity in your career to tap into this advisor and sage? Or were there also times where you felt that you weren't fulfilled because that wasn't what you were able to do? Or maybe there were other reasons why this wasn't the right place for you to be at that time.
Yeah, it's interesting. I feel like when I started my career, I was in consulting. So I was kind of in an advisory role in a way. And so I was like, who is advising? Who's paying 22-year-olds to advise their Fortune 500 companies? But I guess I was always in that sort of consultative types of roles. And so that was always a good fit for me. But I think there are other components of like the work environment. And I actually decided that I wanted to be more hands-on at a given point of like, I want to be building something. And that's a big part of being an entrepreneur and a coach as well, is like, yes, I'm coaching people and advising them, but I'm also like building out the business side of things and building like funnels and tech automations and things like that, writing content. So I feel like I've kind of combined it in different ways. Like I would say that's a part of my career, but it's not the only thing that I enjoy doing.
That is amazing. I agree with you that being an entrepreneur is, I love it so much because there's so many components to it. It's not just doing one thing. So you literally wear every hat there is in a business.
Yeah, I've always done roles that are wearing many hats. And I think for that reason, it has been, you know, there's never been one clear path for me. I've always been about carving my own. And a lot of the clients I work with as well don't feel like they have one clear path. They're kind of like generalists who can choose whatever, and whatever they're going to put their energy into, they're going to crush it. But they just don't know where to put that energy. And so that's why clarity becomes so important of figuring out, where do I want to channel my energy? Where do I want to put all of this attention that I typically give to work so that it feels good for me and you're energized by the end of the workday rather than drained?
100%. I'm so with you on. It all starts with clarity, right? If we don't know where we want to go, how are we going to ever get there? I wonder, when I shared your introduction, you had mentioned that you got clarity before pivoting your career. How did that look for you personally?
That's a great question. Somebody asked me this yesterday as well. I really felt super lost because my goal for so long had just been to get promoted, maybe go to grad school, get an MBA, and then manage people. Like, I had no idea what sort of path my career would look like. Coming from consulting, it was not, you know, specialized in any way in one specific area. And I picked up this book called The Quarter Life Breakthrough, and it's shaped a lot of how I think about work. It's by this guy, Adam. I'm looking at it now. Adam Smiley Pulzwalski. And he essentially guides you into defining what is meaningful work to you and what is the case for doing meaningful work. And he introduced to me this idea of jumping lily pads instead of climbing ladders. And that has always really resonated with me. I actually shared that on another podcast I was on too. And they were like, oh my God, we've never heard this before. But the idea that you can jump to a new lily pad for work, not just climbing up the rung of a ladder. And so for me, I like went to a coffee shop every weekend and I really took the time to do the self-reflection on what is meaningful work to me. What does that look like? What would I do if I was unafraid to fail? And it was really clear to me at that time that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to have a personal brand based service business. People always say, how the heck did you know that at that point? And back when I was in high school, I wanted to be a like motivational speaker, a personal development person. And I think I'd always had this idea of building a business based on your personal brand and what you can teach and help people with. And I had no idea that would be career coaching until I actually went through the pivot myself after I got that clarity and was like, oh, I can now help other people who are struggling with the same problem. And that's why I do the work I do today.
Oh my God, I love that so much, Katie. And I love the idea of jumping lily pads because our society is so linear, right? Like we grow up thinking like, oh yeah, you just get into one job and climb the corporate ladder, but that's not the right thing for everyone. Like that's not it for everyone. And it's okay to jump.
It's actually like the career paths we have now, so many people creating content on any topic you want and creating a business around that even is just like unheard of, you know, 15, 20 years ago. So it's pretty cool that you can create your own path in whatever direction it is. And it all starts with knowing what direction do you want to go in. I think people are really scared, I find, of making the wrong choice and getting behind in their career as a result. And so maybe we could talk about that fallacy as well.
Absolutely. And that just brings me, when I looked for a title for our episode and I thought about you, Forget Playing It Safe jumped to my mind. I was like, that resonates so for me when I think about you. And you've done that throughout your career. And as you said, so many people are afraid of making the wrong move or making a sideway move when that wasn't what they intended to do. Or maybe they have like the dream that you had inside of you of being a motivational speaker. But then our rational brain says like, no, like that is just a dream. Like, no. How did you for yourself be like, okay, I'm not playing it safe and staying in consulting my, the rest of my life because I started here. How were you like, okay, forget playing it safe. I'm going to do me.
Yeah, I think, you know, I am the same person that I was a long time ago, but also very different at the same time. Like the version of Katie who sat there and was like, oh my God, I don't want to get promoted. What do I do with my life? I was the most perfectionist, like type A person who was really scared to let anyone else down around me. I was really scared of, you know, failure. Honestly, I avoided it at all costs. And, you know, people would always like that worst, the worst interview question to me was tell me about a time you failed because I did everything in my power to never fail. And it was actually really important that I joined a startup before I started a business. Because it taught me that you need to fail. And if you're going too slow because you're trying to iterate without feedback, like you are failing the company. It is better for you to put something out there that's tested out, get the feedback, and then iterate. And I am still a perfectionist at heart. I still really care about the quality of my work. And you know, it's something that I actually have to fight every day as an entrepreneur. But I'm so much more risk willing. My old founder, the founder of my past company, talked about being risk willing versus risk averse. And founders and entrepreneurs are risk willing people. And so I've really kind of had to reframe risk for myself and frame the greater risk as being stagnant, not going after the thing I want and having regret around that. And so I think I've just become a much more like, let me figure it out kind of person, you know, forget playing it safe. Let me take action in a way that's like for the plot sometimes of like, how do I want to tell the story of my life back one day? Do I want to say that I was scared to go after what I really wanted? Or do I want to say that I gave it my all and that there is worth pursuing?
I'm so with you. It's really powerful when you think to, when we're in retirement, right? What do we want to look back at? Do we want to look back at like, yeah, I did what everyone else wanted me to do. And I played it safe. I stuck to this one role that I went to school in or that I just somehow randomly ended up in through some circumstances. And I got promoted there. I was never happy. I dreaded work every day, but it felt like what I had to do. Or do you want to look back at your life and be like, I took a risk and I did what I truly wanted to do. And I was happy.
And The way I also like to think about risk, since I do think that, you know, inherently people are seeing change as risk a lot of the time, is oftentimes I think we will not actually make the change until you see the greater risk as staying the same. Yes. And seeing that cost of not changing. And it's okay if that takes a while and you hit that breaking point of like, all right, it's time. I'm ready to put it into gear and make a change now. So I think it's interesting how it's not that it's any less risky. It's just you change the view of it and it's a perception thing.
Yeah, I agree. And I just read a really powerful quote and I don't remember it exactly, but the essence is that if you stay in limbo, you make a decision to stay in limbo. You make the decision mm-hmm. to not take action. So not taking action is also a decision you're making. And that can be a really big aha for people a lot of people are stuck in limbo and they're like, I don't like where I am, but it just feels like my comfort zone is a safe space. And maybe one day I'll make a change. but you are actually actively making a decision like, okay, I'm going to stay where I am. I'm not making a change. I'm staying where I am by not taking action. And that can, that reframe that you were also talking about can really be impactful to realize like, okay, no matter what I do, if I stay or make a change, I am taking an action. And we talk a lot about intentionality. What is your view on making that decision intentional?
Oh, I think it's really important to make decisions intentionally, because what people do is they try to wait to make the quote unquote perfect decision, but they actually have no criteria for what that would be. They're just like, it doesn't feel like it's enough to make. So I can't make the choice because it's not clear enough. And they kind of look for this like perfect amount of data rather than saying, how am I actually evaluating this decision? And if you make an intentional decision based on the information you have at the time, you can't really regret it because you made the best decision you could at the time. And so as you move forward, you make the decision, maybe you get some new data and you're like, okay, this isn't something I would choose again, but I'm here now. So I'm going to make a different choice. And like, it's okay that you're going to just keep making decisions. But if you're not moving forward by deciding not to make a move, then that, like you said, is equally a choice as well. And I think oftentimes people get caught up in like, well, you know, a career change is going to take a while, or, you know, I don't want to go through the process. But even just getting started to say, hey, let me sit down for an hour this weekend and really reflect on like my career, what I want out of my career looking forward. That's progress. And that's like, oh, okay, I feel a little less stuck now because I did one small thing, and you just keep adding on those steps.
Yeah. And that's so important, because when you look at making a career change, maybe you're in a, someone is in a role, right? They're not happy. They feel like there should be more. It pays okay. And they moved up, but it's not what they want to do. But then you think about like, okay, if I want to make a career change, it just feels like this huge, enormous mountain that you're like, I don't even know where to start and how to climb this mountain. But if you just start with, okay, let me take one step and one step and one step. And I think that is really the beauty of also working with a really good career coach like yourself, of having someone tell you like, okay, this is one step to take. This is one step to take. You don't have to climb that whole mountain today. We're just taking it step by step, and I'll guide you every step. And that suddenly becomes manageable, and you suddenly be like, oh yeah, I can do this. And yes, there are opportunities that are exciting.
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the other main benefits of working with a coach, at least how I work with my clients, is, you know, I encourage people to get clear on that career vision as step one. And I have a process specifically to do that. But where people often go wrong, and I talk to a lot of prospective clients who are in this place of, I kind of know what I want, but I'm scared to commit to it. So I'm going to apply to things and pursue and entertain all of these things that I don't really want. And that fear blocks people from moving forward and leaves them in, it's not quite limbo, but it's waffling stage of like, well, I kind of want this, but I'm not committed to it. And that lack of commitment leads to lack of action. The commitment itself is the action associated. And so one of the things that I help people do is like build not just clarity in their professional path and where they want to go, but conviction. Mm-hmm. So they can stop questioning that path and then move forward to step two of like, okay, let's build your personal brand, build your story that connects your now and your next, so that you can make that path actually possible. But when you stay in the waffling stage of questioning it, you can't move forward and tell that story with confidence.
Yeah. And that's where I see so many people that I talk to, and they send out hundreds and thousands of applications without landing anything. Most of the time when you drill it down, it is because they're in that waffling stage and they don't know really what they want. So they're not going 100% into that direction. And there's everywhere a little bit, and that employers can feel that, and nothing sticks. And then maybe you'll get a role out of 1,000, maybe one application sticks, but it's not really the one you truly want. And that cycle continues for people because they're afraid. They don't know how to get clarity because no one teaches you. And then it's the conviction too. So yes, I'm totally aligned with you on that. I'm also, my step one is career clarity. And my guarantee to all my clients is you get clear on your career in 30 days. And then we're moving forward. And a lot of times clients go and be like, oh, but maybe. It's like, okay, you're not stuck in this for the rest of your our lives, right? We're just looking for the next step. So we identified this is the right next step for you, and you feel good about it. So let's move forward on that. And if 2 years from now you want to change, by all means, do it. But that conviction and being like, yes, this is the direction I want to go in and I'm giving it my all is so important.
Right. Yeah. Kind of to piggyback off that, I did a Career Clarity Launchpad masterclass back in June. And as part of that conversation, I talked through how, you know, clarity is kind of like this nebulous thing, right? Like a lot of people think, oh, it's just this next job title that I'm getting after. And that's part of it. But the bigger picture of getting clarity is really understanding yourself, mm-hmm. understanding where you get your energy from, how you want to design your workday. And the job titles of like that core JD of like your day-to-day life and work might look different, but you're going after the same type of work. And I also talk to people about like there's different phases of clarity. There's kind of like, what do you want long-term? Like maybe you don't have that tomorrow, but like you're kind of clear on like this longer term direction of like generally what you want 5 years away to look like. And then the second step is like, okay, well, what do you want to do next? That's going to get you closer to that longer term vision. You might have a few hypotheses of like, maybe this path. In order to narrow down, you got to talk to people, do research online. There's so much content and information about different paths. And then you narrow back down once you have that like final, okay, we're going with this type of job at these types of companies. This is my intersection point. Then you can go into, okay, how do I get there? What's the clarity on my process? And, you know, standing out to the companies that I'm going after, et cetera, and like getting into the nuts and bolts of the job search. But if you just pick the next job title, I often find that people end up very lost in 2 years again, because they're like, oh, this isn't it either. I thought it would be this thing, but it's not.
Yeah, I agree. It comes down to what energizes and what drains you for me. If you are able to identify, okay, what are the things that really energize me and fill me? That's when our life becomes meaningful and we can really step into our full purpose. And then, as you said, the job titles, they can't change. But as long as you can stay true to that, and for me, that's solving problems. I'm going back to the Sparky type where I'm the scientist. I love solving problems. As long as I'm in roles where I can spend the majority of my time solving problems, I'll be as happy as can be. Maybe that will change. I don't know. But that's the core. And I wonder for you if that is sharing knowledge and advising. If as long as you stay true to that, maybe things around that can shift.
Yeah, I think for me, so I recently read The Big Leap. And it's funny, I do this a lot with books. I didn't finish it. Like I had the aha moment and then I like went and did something with it and I need to go finish the book. But it's kind of about identifying for yourself, like what is that? I'm not going to explain it very well because I didn't finish the whole book, but like you can be in your zone of genius. But it's like really jumping into that next phase of like, what is that thing that for you is like really lighting you up? And I identified for me that it is about kind of like taking separate ideas and creating these aha moments for people. And like I said, I kind of have done that through, you know, working on cross-functional projects and kind of like strategy roles. I've also done that in coaching and helping people connect the dots and say, oh my gosh, I didn't see it that way before. Yeah. And creating perspective shifts. So, you know, I don't know. I think
100% someday
when I'm a speaker and a writer in the future, like I will be creating aha moments. That's
kind of creating aha moments. And that's the essence of the advisor and the sage. So that so aligns with, and you're really carrying that through your career, creating aha moments. And then the environment can shift, right? You've done that in different capacities and maybe it will shift in the future, who knows? But finding that core of what lights us up is so important.
Yeah, totally.
I was wondering, going back to a little bit earlier in your career when you hit the burnout, and that's something I see with clients that come to me who are suffering from severe burnout, is that we lose that spark. We lose what makes us come alive. Everything becomes just gray. How did you navigate that for yourself? And I don't know how that journey looked for you, but was that a challenge for you as well? And how did you move through that?
Yeah, I was super burned out. I've been super burned out, I think, twice in my career. And a definition of burnout that there's a guy named Paul Millard. He's a writer and he has a book called The Pathless Path, which I highly recommend to people who want to carve their own paths. But he talks about the definition of burnout as being in misalignment, where you might not be working a million hours. Like there's that kind of burnout where you're like, the lifestyle alignment's not there. Like I'm physically can't work another hour. I have some friends in that position, but there's also the kind of burnout where you're just like, my goals are so misaligned with where I'm headed right now that I just feel like it's almost like losing hope in a way.
Yeah.
And I think I had a little bit of a combination of those things, to be honest with you. And I started by, you know, taking the time to say, okay, I feel pretty bad. Let me do this clarity work. So I would spend some time on the weekend doing the reflection, and I started job searching. But the reason why I talk about waffling is because I waffled a lot. I knew where I wanted to go. I knew I wanted to go into early stage company, but I didn't know at all how to do that. So I was just kind of taking whatever opportunities would come to me from like bigger tech companies. And for me, like I ended up eventually getting I remember it was like just before Christmas in 2020, I think. Yeah, 2020. And I felt horrible. I had gotten an offer for a company that I was like, seems like a good company, but I just wasn't excited about it. But at the same time, I desperately was like, I need out of this role. And I made a really hard decision to say no to the offer and commit to going all in on like pivoting into startups. And I decided to join a community for people who were startup job seekers. And I'm a big believer in, you know, having group support as you're going through the job search. And that changed the game for me. It changed everything. I decided to go on a sabbatical for 3 months. And I threw myself into this community. I was like one of the most active people. I met tons of people who are in the startup tech world, completely built a network from basically zero through that. Started writing on Twitter. That was the first time I was like writing in public, building my personal brand, and came alive again through that experience. It was during the pandemic and there wasn't a lot of social activities. I was doing all of this from my apartment in New York and built some really strong friendships from that, but also learned how to navigate the job search process. And that was a transformational experience in my life because had I not gone through it, I wouldn't have joined the recruiting tech startup that I did. And I wouldn't now be doing this work because I experienced it for myself. So I don't think that was quite your question, but it took taking a step back and step away to reconnect with myself and like just follow my curiosity.
Love that story, Katie. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's so impactful of how you intentionally stepped back and then found the right community for you that changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like forgot about the details of how it all went down, but yeah, it was a really tumultuous time for a bit there.
Yeah. And I so agree with where you started is that there's two types of burnout or two things can lead to burnout. One is we work too much. We might even enjoy the work we do, but we do too much of it. And we hit this wall where we just can't go any further. Or we do the work that drains us. And maybe objectively isn't that hard. Maybe we don't work crazy hours, but because the work we do is so, so draining, it takes everything out of us and we also burn out. And I've experienced similar to you, I've been in both direction, but in my career, I'm a very process-driven person. And as long as I do process-driven work, I'm energized, I'm excited, I'm alive. Service-driven work, I can do, but I can't do it all day, every day because it drains me. And I was in customer service and recruiting, which is very heavy service-driven work. And it was so misaligned for me that my battery was at zero. I started my day at zero and I ended it at minus 50.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that the work itself was so hard, but it was so misaligned. And I never knew what was wrong. Like I couldn't point my finger to it. Like, okay, what else am I supposed to do? Like I'm good at this, but it just drains the hell out of me. And how do I get out of it? And just like you, it was really that taking a step back, pandemic, and then getting clarity of what is it I truly want that changed everything.
Yeah, it's so important to take that first step back. I think people often are like, how do I navigate this? And it starts with making time, making space. And if you don't have the time, you need to make it even more.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking that step back, creating some distance and space to reflect and think about it is just such a good first step. I think for me too, like thinking back, it wasn't that I really hated my job. It was that I felt like I had gotten exactly where I wanted to get to, and it didn't feel how I thought it would feel. Mm-hmm. And I was just, you know, pursuing things for external validation and success. And I was pursuing things I thought were interesting, but it just made me realize that like that deeper purpose needs to come from within. And it's not something that you necessarily have to go and find. It's something that you create.
I think a lot of people can resonate with what you just said, is you go after what you thought you wanted, and then you get there and it doesn't feel like the way you thought it would feel. It still has that, this is all there is feeling to it, or isn't there supposed to be more? And I wonder, there's probably a lot of people in that situation, and they feel stuck there because they got to where they actually wanted to be, but then it's not what they envisioned it to be. And a lot of times, all these limiting beliefs we hold play into it. And I know that is something you also talk about. What are some of those common limiting beliefs that you hear from professionals you work with, and how do you help overcome them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I've talked to a lot of people on some sales calls in the past week that are kind of in this exact situation of just like, I've had all this success. It doesn't feel so hot anymore. And one of the big beliefs that comes up for people is like, I've worked hard to get this external success, probably income growth that I wanted. And is it possible for me to really find something that feels good and is still going to pay me a lot?
Yeah.
And in certain fields, it is going to be pretty hard, depending on like, if you're, you know, private equity at age 24, it's going to be pretty hard for you to find that in another industry. But for most people, you can optimize and understand like, what are your income goals, and you can find work that is aligned and energizing for you. Sometimes that also means creating better boundaries, which you're going to have to do regardless of what company you go to. And a lot of people who are used to just putting in the work don't have the boundaries. And, you know, I learned this the hard way because I went to that startup and burned out again because I didn't know how to set boundaries with work. I actually worked with a coach who I still work with who helped me do that. But that's one of the beliefs, I think, is that, can I really make this money elsewhere? But they don't explore. They just assume like you can't.
Yeah.
Another fear that people have is, you know, I'm such a high performer, I don't want to let my team down. I want to be like, I'm such a team player and I don't want to let my team down. What if I hurt relationships that I have here? And rather than seeing it as like, everyone else wins when you are thriving at work.
Yeah.
And not putting on a mask and trying to get through. So that's another one. I would say another big fear is like, what if I make the wrong decision? That's probably a big one, is like, how do I pick the right thing?
Yeah.
Putting so much pressure on putting the right thing versus like, one of my actually first clients came back to me and she said, before I worked with you, I was so worried about making the wrong move and getting behind of my peers. And now I just have this perspective of like, same as you said earlier, of like, if you're moving forward towards something you're excited about, you're making an intentional change. You can't mess it up because you're being intentional about it and you're trying things on and making a shift. And when you approach career change from thinking, where do I want to be in 5 years? What do I want my life to feel like and look like? And then you back up into what's next. It's really hard to get off course. Those are just some of the big ones, I would say.
Yeah, no, I agree with all three of them. And that can't in our head is so big. I can't switch into that industry because I don't have experience in it. I can't make enough money in another job. I can't. There are so many can'ts. I just had a really impactful moment with one of my clients who said, I can't switch into this industry because I don't have experience in this industry. Okay, let's see. We pulled up some LinkedIn profiles from people in that industry. And it turns out none of them had prior experience in that industry before they started working in it. And that's like, oh, wow, you can do that. And it just opens up so many possibilities when you can counteract this, all these can'ts and shoulds in our heads and find proof that, no, you can do it. Other people did it. And I can talk to them and find out how they did it. And I can do that too.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I always say to my clients, I really push them to stop putting fake barriers. Like, most of your constraints don't exist. Like, if you need an H-1B visa, that's a real constraint.
Yeah.
You know, like if you have to live in a certain city, that's a constraint. But most of the time, people's constraints are super made up and, or they're just beliefs that aren't really true. And so I always say, question your assumptions. So like, well, in order to get to this job, then I'd have to do this job first. I'm like, who says? Have you really tried to go for this other one that you actually want? And I really try to hold people to this idea of like, when you commit to something, you will find a way. So when you stop in the how is this, like, can I do this? The waffling stage of like, I'm not committed. When you commit and you say, I'm going to figure it out, everything is figure outable, I will be resourceful, then you can start having those creative ideas because your brain can move on from, am I doing this, to, I'm freaking doing this. How am I going to get there? Yes. Who am I going to talk to? How am I going to position myself? And that is just, to me, like such a more exciting conversation to have. And it is really fun to watch when people are like, I'm all in, let's do this.
Oh, I love that. Isn't it the best feeling ever?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the last limiting belief that you touched on is being afraid of making the wrong move and feeling like all that pressure, it has to be right. And I can absolutely relate to it. And I think as we get older, that pressure becomes even higher, bigger. Like I felt like at 30, I was like, oh my God, it's too late. I need to make the right move now because otherwise it's too late. Now I'm almost 40 and I'm like, okay, I was very young back then. I could have made 5 wrong moves and I would have still been fine. but I think it is also, there's also a problem that we're never taught to really do that self-reflection or how to figure this out for us and then know what is the right thing to do. And I think that is so powerful to work with a coach because they can guide you on these things that we're never taught. There's a lot of self-help books out there. There's a lot of guidance online. But having that person that can guide you and hold your hand through that and tell you like, okay, this is the next step. This is the next step. This is the next step is incredibly powerful.
Yeah. I think even beyond the guidance, I think the one of the most unexpected things that my clients get from working with me as a coach is like the identity shift of like, you can't see yourself sometimes in this other version than like, people show up and they say, oh, this is some of the work that I've done in the past. And I was like, I'm like, you're incredible. Like, these are all the things that you're telling me about how amazing you are. Like, let's craft this into your story. And it's really hard to objectively see ourselves that way. That's why, like, we have coaches to tell us, like, to guide us, but also to remind you of your power. And I think that's where it's really hard to do this by yourself. Like, that's why I talk about energetics. Like, I could go and give you the strategy, but unless you believe that you can do it, and you see yourself in this empowered way, it's not going to be as effective because how you show up to every conversation, the energy you bring to the process makes a huge difference on your results.
100%, 100%. I'm so with you on that. And Katie, I would love to ask you another 100 questions, but
I know.
getting to the end of this time here, but there is so much powerful advice that you're sharing. And I'm sure lots of people want to get in touch with you. If they want to learn more from you, where can they find you?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm always here on LinkedIn. I would say the best thing to do is just check out my profile, shoot me a DM. My DMs are open. I'm always down to chat. I also have a newsletter and you can read all of the past versions on my website. So it's a great way to kind of get more intel and do a deeper dive.
Perfect. So I'll include that in the show notes and you can see it here on the screen. Website is katieculver.co. You can also find you on Instagram at katie.culver and on LinkedIn, you're at Katherine Culver, correct?
Yes, that's right. I just have always had that as my URL. I don't post on Instagram yet, but if you want to follow me, feel free. Eventually I'll start posting there too.
Awesome. And that is it for today's episode with Katie. Thank you so much for being here with us today. I hope that you are feeling inspired and ready to believe in the possibility of finding your dream career. And remember that it's not just about getting clear on what's next, but it's really about that bigger picture of aligning your mindset, your energy, and strategy so you can truly make that happen. And if you are ready to take the next step in your career journey, please DM me the word clarity and learn how I can help you. And thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Make sure that you follow me on LinkedIn. I'm at Teresa A. White. And make sure that you follow me so that you don't miss next week's episode of Career Clarity Unlocked.